Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny on a Saturday morning. Hey there, you fine listeners. You, I'm glad you've tuned in, especially you, and you know who you are. We are here doing what we love doing, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny at 93.3 FM on a Saturday morning at 9 o'clock every week. We've got in studio Alice Lee Stansberry. She's with Stansberry Consulting, talking about associations, and Pastor Gene DeBarbaris with Unity Eastside Church. She'll be talking with us a little bit about their work, and another edition of Women to Watch with Heather Thomas. So you want to stay tuned for all this good stuff coming up right here, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Truck and Car Concepts on Mahan Drive. For accessories, detailing, and window tinting for your car or truck.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck.
Folks, the backup camera system has become a standard in most of the new vehicles, and you don't have to buy a new vehicle in order to have the safety and protection of the standard. Come in to Truck and Car Concepts. We can install a backup camera system that's going to give you the safety and protection for $399 and up.
Everything is here from A to Z.
So, what are you going to do?
I don't know. My insurance company is telling me to take it to this one shop, but...
It's your choice. It's not up to them. Have you told Jerry?
No, he loves that car. I wanted to take it to someone who would make it perfect.
Well, you know Dan Hendrickson, right?
Dan Hendrickson.
He owns Capital City Collision Center, down there by the stadium on Lake Bradford Road. Bobby's Jeep got rear-ended coming home from school.
Oh, that's right.
We had Dan fix it. It was great, and they're great to work with.
Okay. Capital City Collision Center.
Online at CapitalCityCollisionInc.com or call 575-9202. So here we are on a Saturday in October. It is a beautiful weekend. Cooler weather is upon us. The pumpkins are out. If we're not happy now, we're probably never going to be happy. So come on, folks. This is Tallahassee. This is the time of year when football is alive and kicking. Florida State's got a bye week, probably just trying to figure out how in the world to beat Clemson. We got a birthday today. Akeem Akinyemi is having his birthday, so happy birthday to Akeem. And if you're having a birthday, well, happy birthday to you too. You need to let us know that so we can wish you a happy birthday. You know, a good way to do that is to visit our Facebook page. It's simple enough, and you just go to Facebook and then go to Tallahassee Talks, and there we are. Leave a comment, or if you'd like to email us a suggestion, topics@TallahasseeTalks.com. That's always a good thing to do. In the news this week, what kinds of stuff's been going on? You know, there's so much of what occupies our mind is happening at a national level, and the federal government struggling with an ongoing non-activity. Isn't that the best way to put that? It seems like they're entrenched, and now we're looking at whether, in fact, they're going to be able to go forward in raising the debt limit, and oh my gosh. So far beyond the humble attempts of this one talk show host to try to make sense of all of that, I think we all have taken position that we can agree on, which is let's see if we can get this thing to roll forward. Let's get it fixed and then continue with the debate. That seems to be the prevailing view. Meanwhile, we have lots of things going on around town. Refuge House just had its first 5K run, and we did talk about Florida State football. We got Jameis Winston gearing up to play Clemson. And the shelter is changing its policy in serving sex offenders. That's an interesting story. All of these, by the way, are available to you at Tallahassee.com. A lot of times it's a good spot to go if you want to check out the latest stories, the latest headlines, or get some in-depth coverage. As we look around town, one of the things that we've discovered in our humble attempts to bring you what is new, what is a part of this wonderful place we call Tallahassee, the number of associations that provide services, provide employment, provide for those in need, whether it's a charitable organization or a professional association. They play a significant role in our economy and in our culture, so much so that I wrote recently that if you go back 100 years, Leon County was predominantly plantations growing corn and cotton. These days, we grow bureaucrats and college students and associations. We have a significant number of associations. Alice Lee Stansberry is going to be in the studio here shortly and bring us up to date on that with some insight as to how these organizations work and what they're doing in working us in working forward to bring innovation and collaboration. But first, we will talk with our good friend Heather Thomas, who's in studio with her guest, and another edition of Women to Watch. Heather?
Thanks, Brian. I'm here with Michaela Scott Santos, who is Mrs. Tallahassee and represented our city in the most recent Mrs. Florida pageant through the U.S. Continental Mrs. Florida Pageant Program. She is also a pharmacist with the Leon County Health Department, specializing in HIV pharmaceuticals, and is married to Carlos Santos. Her amazing story of courage and hope and her passion for breast cancer awareness makes her one of Tallahassee Woman Magazine's Women to Watch for this month of October, which of course is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Welcome, Michaela.
Thank you, Heather.
Tell us a little bit how you became inspired to pursue a career in pharmacy.
Well, it would all start in about the ninth grade. In high school, we had to do a career assessment test. One of my results was to become a pharmacist. So when I presented this to my mother, she was over the hills about it. She was currently battling with breast cancer at the time. And for me to have a career that was self-sufficient, that helped people, even people like her, because she was taking so much medicine at the time, that just really drew her to pharmacy. And, you know, just having her happy drew me to pharmacy also.
Right. And of course, tragically, Michaela's mother did pass away due to breast cancer when Michaela was 16. And then where did your life lead you when that happened to you?
Well, it was very tragic for me being a young teenage girl. I was left with my father and my younger siblings. Around 17, 18, we moved to Jackson, Mississippi, me and three of my other younger siblings. And by moving to Jackson, that actually led me to my undergrad at Rust College in Holly Springs, Mississippi. I actually went there to visit with my church. And from there, I met a guidance counselor by the name of Early Smith. And he introduced me to Rust College as a whole. He kept up with me. He called me constantly. He emailed me constantly. And his passion for Rust, you know, emulated onto me. Right. And I ended up going to Rust College and majoring in biology.
That's incredible. And it's a testament to how people come into your life at such important times and see something in you that you may not see in yourself. And here you are now, a pharmacist. And she is actually, of course, Mrs. Tallahassee.
And that right. leads me to the pageant, right. to the Mrs.
And,
Florida
and
pageant.
And this was just recently the yes. pageant actually took place. Michaela did not win the crown, even though we, of course, think she should have. She was first runner-up, and now she is going to be using her platform of breast cancer awareness and diabetes prevention in the upcoming months. And can you tell us a little bit about how you're going to be representing the platforms?
Well, with the Breast Cancer Awareness Month being October, and I'm so proud of Tallahassee for really, truly painting the town pink.
Right.
We have two events coming up. The first one is October 20th. It's hosted by the American Cancer Society.
October 20th.
And
okay.
It's going to be from 1 to 5. It's their annual breast cancer walk.
Right.
I'll be there alongside of some of my other community service sorority and right. organizations, one being Sisters Incorporated, the other one being Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. And I'll also be there representing as Mrs. Tallahassee.
Right.
Another event that I will be attending is October 27th,
okay.
and that is at Stewart Temple AME Church in Quincy, Florida.
Okay, I'll be hosting there. All right.
Yes, I'll be hosting their breast cancer awareness program that okay. Sunday.
Fantastic. Now, what's happening in January of 2014 for you? For me and your story, this just helps things become full circle. And it's a true testament to Michaela's passion for her community and for her family and having her mother's legacy live on.
Yes. The most exciting things are happening in January 2014. The most important is I will be adopting my younger siblings, and they'll be wow. coming to live in Tallahassee with me.
Wow. And how old are they?
They are 13 and 15.
Fantastic.
We're approximately 13 and 11 years apart. So they've always been more like my babies versus my younger siblings.
Absolutely.
Because we're such a big right. age gap, and right. I took care of them when my mother passed away.
Right. Right.
So for them to come live with me is right. just a dream come true.
That's wonderful, Michaela. Thank you so much for sharing your heart with us today. If you want to know more about Michaela's amazing story of courage and hope, read her article at TalWoman.com or Tallahassee Woman Magazine's Facebook page, or pick up an issue of the October-November edition at any area publicist. Thank you so much, Michaela.
No, thank you.
Back to you, Brian.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
We have in studio with us this morning the Reverend Gene DeBarberis, who is the pastor at Unity Eastside Church here in Tallahassee, talking about Unity and what they do, and they've got an upcoming event, so we're going to get into that. Gene, how are you?
I'm okay this morning.
Yeah,
she's a little bit nervous.
She's a little nervous being on the radio. This is a person who's in front of people all the time, but you get her in front of thousands of listeners that are unseen, and it's a bit intimidating. I understand. I freak out all the time when I do this. Well, folks, we're glad you've tuned in. And by the way, for those of you who don't know, Unity Eastside is, what a shock, on the east side of town, out there on Buck Lake Road. So that gives us a little bit of reference. Tell us about Unity and what you guys do, what you are, kind of the roots of the church and so forth. A little history, I guess.
Unity is a religious movement that didn't start off to be a religious movement. It was begun in 1889 by a husband and wife couple, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore. And each of them had a specific healing challenge. Myrtle had tuberculosis. Charles had a withered leg from a childhood ice skating accident. And they were intrigued by what was then a very new thought, which was that if Jesus healed, so could his disciples. And they began to study the methods by which Jesus did that. And turns out that they would spend 4 to 6 hours in prayer and meditation a day. And over a period of 2 years, Myrtle cured herself of tuberculosis. And people were so intrigued by that, that their friends and family began to come to them and say, how did you do that? So they began to teach them their method of affirmative prayer and meditation and making contact with the source itself, which is the source of life and everything. And it evolved into a religious movement.
What about the withered leg?
It actually strengthened, and he started off wearing a shoe with a very elevated heel and sole.
Yeah.
And we're told that over the years of his practice, he was able to reduce that that heel and that sole. So I don't.
They saw the outcome of their consistent prayer.
They did.
I've heard that said before, that a lot of times we give up too easily in prayer. We're praying for something, some event or healing or provision or intervention, something.
Right.
And we just, well, I prayed and it didn't happen. So
right.
You're saying these folks knew they had to hang in there.
Yes. They taught persistence. And they taught positive persistence. Don't get angry about it. These things take time. There is no time or space in spirit. And we are particularly subject to that kind of giving up, because we live in a culture that says when instant isn't fast enough, do something else.
Well, that's true, isn't it?
Very much true.
We can't even wait 3 seconds if the light turns green and somebody's sitting in front of us. We're going to honk at them.
That's right. That's right. I came to that realization standing at a bank of elevators and watching the impatience on the people around me, because the elevator didn't come immediately in a 40-story building. You know,
so like, they keep pushing the button.
They keep pushing the button.
It's going to move the elevator faster.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah. You mean that doesn't work?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
But in prayer, we can persist. How would you describe Unity Church as it is today, let's say, in relation to other churches? Do you consider it a Christian church, or is it sort of non-denominational? How do you...
We are non-denominational, but we do consider ourselves Christian because we teach Jesus Christ, but we don't teach it in the way other churches do. Primarily, we like to say that we are not a religion about Jesus. We are a religion that attempts to teach the teachings that he taught and to promote the way of life that he lived. So one of our big things is whenever... In the Bible, it says Jesus took time to pray. He went into the desert for 40 days. We use that as a way of reinforcing our belief that you need to make conscious contact with the source. You can't get it from someone else. And Jesus modeled that for us.
Right.
Come apart a while and pray. So that's why prayer is the foundation, personal prayer and meditation.
So we're talking with Reverend Jean. I'm going to say Jean because it is that French New Orleans thing, right? To Barbara Reese, who has graciously joined us this morning, talking about Unity Eastside Church here in Tallahassee. And the event that Reverend to Barbara Reese is talking about is entitled Make a Touchdown for a Kid. Now, this happens tomorrow. What time?
Between 12 and 3.
So this is, in fact, a kind of fundraiser, or is it educational in nature, or both, or...
We like to say it is a fun, F-U-N, raiser. We typically do a fundraising drive to support our youth ministry, to support our kids and our adults who want to go to our teen rallies and retreats.
I
we
see.
Typically do that just as an in-house event. And this year we started thinking about how can we make it more fun and how could we introduce people to Unity? So we got the idea that fall is football season. And Tallahassee is a football town. And if you don't tailgate, you don't have much to do, right? So we thought we'd have like a tailgating party.
That's cool.
And so that's what we're doing. We're tailgating. We're having food trucks that serve barbecue come, and people can buy the barbecue. We're going to have some live music. For the event itself is free. We're going to play some football games, and we're hoping that the community comes and meets us and realizes that we're people, and we're fun, and we may have something to offer them.
And in that regard, do you think that Unity Church, is it mostly in America, or is it worldwide?
It is a worldwide movement, and what's really interesting is that Charles Fillmore was ahead of his time in terms of technology. Anything that was new, he loved. So he was a big proponent of radio. interestingly enough, that were on the radio. And so he would do radio broadcasts. And as you probably know better than I do, radio signals can bounce all over the world quite easily. And we have a big following in Nigeria. So that's one of the big places that it went back in the early 1900s. So we are a worldwide movement.
What does Unity Church say about the status of things in the world? I mean, this is a troubled time, we could say. At least there are certain places in the world that seem a bit more troubled than others, especially, of course, the Middle East. And, I mean, how does Unity...
Unity says it's all about consciousness. It is about individual consciousness as well as what you might call the collective consciousness. And that is consciousness out-picturing.
Okay.
And the only way to change what's happening is in the world is to change the consciousness that created it.
What does that mean? So you get a picture of what you want to have happen. Let's say world peace, you know, or peace in the Middle East, or the laying down of arms, right?
Right.
And you focus on that idea.
But it's more than that. It is changing that sense of conflict within ourselves. And I use myself as an example a lot because I want my congregation, I want people to know I'm in this struggle with them. I have a hard time keeping my temper under control when I'm driving. And every time I realize that my temper has been sparked by another driver on the road, I realize that's one reason why there is no world peace. Because if I can't find peace within me on something as simple and mundane as somebody else's driving, how are they going to find peace in the Middle East?
Right.
So it calls me to renew my soul and renew my spirit and elevate my consciousness around every little thing that ticks me off.
Well, folks, I hope you are taking notes here. We're getting a good look at Unity Eastside Church, the Reverend DeBarbarese, Gene, as we say, and in the South here. And we're pleased to have had you with us. Unity Eastside's website, for those who would like to learn more, unity-eastside.org. Remember, they've got this event coming up tomorrow, October the 13th. Make a touchdown for a kid. Learn a lot more about these folks and what they're doing to make life a better place here for us in Tallahassee. Be a part of the discussion that is all about what Tallahassee is talking about. Stay with us.
So, what are you going to do?
I don't know. My insurance company is telling me to take it to this one shop, but I don't know if that's the best thing to do.
It's your choice. It's not up to them. Have you told Jerry?
No, he loves that car. I wanted to take it to someone who would make it perfect, just the way it was, you know?
Yeah, well, you know Dan Hendrickson, right?
Dan Hendrickson.
The guy we met at that chamber thingy we went to, remember? He owns Capital City Collision Center. He was talking about the whole Gain Street thing, because he's down there by the stadium on Lake Bradford Road.
And you think they do good work?
You don't remember? Bobby's Jeep got rear-ended coming home from school.
Oh, that's right.
We had Dan fix it. It was great. And they're great to work with. And the guy in the paint shop is really cute.
Capital City did that.
Yep. I've got his card here somewhere. Here.
Okay. Capital City Collision Center.
Online at CapitalCityCollisionInc.com or call 575-9202.
So we are talking this morning with a new and good friend. I think you can say that all in one sentence. Can someone be a good friend that you've just met? Well, technically we met some time ago, but it is our pleasure to welcome her here to Tallahassee Talks. We have with us Alice Lee Stansberry. How are you, my friend?
I'm great.
My new good friend.
I appreciate that.
Well, I have no idea what it means to be a good friend as opposed to being a not good friend. But I will say that in the short period of time that we've had a chance to get to know each other, it's clear that you have a mission from God here that has to do with associations, we'll say in the broadest sense. And folks, I want to tell you that I've already had to stop and think about some of the predispositions, some of my prearranged thinking about this topic. And if you're just tuning in, we're talking about associations in general here in Tallahassee, Leon County. And Alice Lee, what she does in trying to help those associations, and we're talking about organizations that are alike in that they are not for profit, but can cover a lot of different topics, we'll say. Especially, would it be fair to say, Alice, do I call you Alice or Alice Lee?
Let's go with Alice Lee.
Okay.
Twice as much to remember.
Sorry about that. That's going to really mess me up. Folks, this is going to be a very long and arduous conversation.
I'm only going to get invited once, aren't I?
You're not my good friend anymore. I want to tell you that right now. So, Alice Lee, if we are talking about a professional association, and I may be a member of the Florida Association of Radio Talk Show Hosts, right? Mm-hmm. So that association, by virtue of its mission, is organizationally similar in that it's not for profit. But how would it compare, let's say, with a charitable organization, which might be the Tallahassee Rehabilitation of Talk Show Hosts Incorporated? That's where I go after.
That's where we're going next. Right?
Yeah, for some kind of charitable assistance. And yet, while they have perhaps different roles to play, they are similar. And tell us about the kind of the differences and the similarities, I guess.
Well, you hit on it. I mean, they are all not-for-profit. Yeah. And Tallahassee is unique in that as a state capital and obviously a local community, we have well over 300 state associations that are headquartered here.
These 300.
Yeah, at least that. I mean, and they are 501c6 organizations. That's their IRS designation. It means they are not-for-profit.
Okay.
They are governed by a board, and they are working to advance their membership, the member organizations that they serve, whether they're the Florida Medical Association or the Florida Bankers Association or the Florida Dental Health Foundation Association.
So their agenda is really about the needs
of their members
and of the profession they represent.
Exactly. But also kind of under that not-for-profit umbrella, are, as you said, are the charitable organizations, which have a 501c3 IRS designation.
Uh-huh.
And they, too, are governed by a nonprofit board, by a volunteer board. Uh-huh. And their mission, their purpose is to advance some cause or serve a portion of the community or the community at large in some, charitable endeavor.
And so they might be educational or they might be relief-oriented. I mean, American Cancer Society, for example, is research and education and health.
Yes. And many of them are direct service.
Yeah.
A lot of the health and human service organizations, United Way agencies that are providing direct services to people in the community,
like Catholic Charities
or Boys Town, Children's Home Society. But then there's also the environmental organizations, educational organizations, the historic preservation, arts and culture. I mean, so even within just that nonprofit arena, you have a pretty diverse group of organizations that all have a
charitable cause in mind.
Yes, and a community purpose.
Really cover the waterfront, we'd say. Yeah.
So you put those two together and you recognize that Tallahassee is unique and that we have all of those associations and all the nonprofit organizations. And in fact, many of those associations even have a 501c3 charitable arm in what they're doing.
Okay.
They raise money for scholarships and community programs and that kind of thing. Hmm. So even many of those associations have a C3
and your
charitable
business,
purpose.
You are the president of Stansberry Consulting, right?
Yes.
And we want to reemphasize that. And you're a columnist.
And we write some of the columns directly to nonprofit leaders, whether that's executive directors and sometimes board members.
Okay.
Other times we write the column for donors, for volunteers, for people who aren't working directly in the nonprofit community, but support them, volunteer, walk in the heart walk, whatever. So sometimes the audience that we're writing to varies, but the common theme is, what's happening and what's relevant to the community with nonprofits.
Well, it makes sense when you point out how many of these organizations are a part of our economic landscape.
And I think a lot of times that gets lost, mm-hmm. the economic impact of the nonprofit mm-hmm. sector. Going back to 2007, United Partners for Human Services received some funding from Knight Foundation to do an economic impact study. And at that time, there were 7,000 people working in the nonprofit sector with an economic impact of $485 million.
Wow. That was
in 2007. So obviously a lot of things have changed since then. But it was really the first time that those kinds of numbers were really brought together to try and quantify not only are nonprofits worthy organizations and contributing to the quality of life and a good thing to be involved in, but they're also a big part of the economic engine in our community. They bring a lot of dollars from outside of our community, outside of our state, into Tallahassee.
Talking with Alice Lee Stansberry here about associations generally, both professional organizations and we'll say charitable organizations, we'll make that distinction, and her work as a consultant and most recently, in addition, a columnist. Trying to help us make sense of it all and maybe do a little bit better at what we do as a community and especially within the realm of the work that these associations and charitable organizations do for us. You are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny here on a Saturday morning. Stay with us. Time now for another edition of IMAX UMAX with Emily Brown.
I'm Emily Brown with a special edition of IMAX UMAX. Let's start at the very beginning, a very good place to start. On October 12th and 13th, the Challenger Learning Center and Tallahassee Community Chorus are teaming up to present the second annual sing-along Sound of Music, the classic film with on-screen subtitles on the giant screen so everyone can sing along. This is a movie experience like none other. It includes a vocal warm-up, a tour through your complimentary bag of props to be used with the movie, and a creative costume contest judged by you, the audience. Last year's screenings were a blast and both filled to capacity. And tickets are selling fast for this year. Buy your tickets now so you don't miss out on this irresistible fun for the whole family. Tickets are available at www.tcchorus.org or by calling 850-645-7796. Sing along Sound of Music this weekend at the Challenger Learning Center, October 12th and 13th. With your musical IMAX UMAX, I'm Emily Brown.
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Merry Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. That's why we rely on Merry Maids right here at our studios, because, you know, I need a little shine from time to time, and my friends at Merry Maids make it happen with guaranteed satisfaction. Screened and trained employees, bonded and insured performance, even free consultation. And as a new customer, when you sign up for 24 weekly or biweekly cleanings, on your first cleaning, you're going to save up to $400 because they'll spend that first visit doing the deep cleaning you've probably been wanting to do for yourself. But don't do that. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done. Right here in Tallahassee, 386-2205 or online at merrymaids.com. If you've just tuned in, we are here with the very lovely, our new and good friend, Alice Lee Stansberry, president of Stansberry Consulting, a columnist, a contributor to the landscape, all having to do with professional associations, nonprofit, charitable organizations. It's been your life's work.
And
here you are. When you were a kid in school, did you sit in the back of the class thinking, someday I'm going to grow up and I'm going to advise associations as to how to run their business?
Never a thought in my mind.
How did this all happen to you?
Well, like a lot of people, I came to Tallahassee to go to college, and my first job after I graduated from Florida State, first of all, my degree was in communications, and I thought, hey, a degree in talking.
I should have done that.
How Brian, I can't believe you weren't there with me. But anyway, that's kind of how that happened. And so my very first job right after I graduated was with the Muscular Dystrophy Association.
Look at that. Yeah.
I graduated in May, started in June. And if you know anything about MDA, you know the Labor Day telethon happens every year in September. So 3 months later.
Did you ever meet Jerry Lewis?
I saw him. I didn't personally meet him, but I saw him at several events. But anyway, I helped plan and implement a live telethon in Albany, Georgia.
How cool.
3 months later. But basically what happened was I just fell in love with nonprofits, with the idea that whatever skills and talents I have, I can put towards a worthy cause.
Yeah.
So
you think that's where most people are motivated to. They get into association work or charitable work because of the cause that they're tied to or the mission that the organization represents, you think?
Sometimes I think that's the case. But one of the big changes that I've seen in the last 25 years, I also teach a graduate level course in fundraising in the public administration school at Florida State. And 25 years ago, you couldn't take a class in fundraising. No. You couldn't take a course. You couldn't get a degree in nonprofit management. And now what I'm seeing, you know, 25 years later, is that young people are going to college and getting bachelor's degrees, master's degrees, and PhDs in philanthropic fundraising and nonprofit management. And so they're coming out of college with, you know, skills and knowledge that they then want to apply to the nonprofit sector, where folks of my generation and older, we kind of fell into it. Yeah. And then learned on the job and then stuck with it. And so it's a big change.
So that suggests then something quite distinctive about the nonprofit, we'll call it industry, as opposed to for-profit. Is that fair? I mean, you have to have a set of skills that you wouldn't necessarily bring if you had an MBA.
Well, I'm not saying an MBA isn't an asset. I think it would be.
But it's different.
But it is different. And you know, as much as passion is a big part of why people work in this sector, passion isn't enough. Hmm. You know, a love for who you're trying to serve or a passion for trying to solve a particular problem is not enough to run a successful and sustainable nonprofit organization. You've got to have the knowledge, the skills, the talents, and the information. And that comes either from learning it on the job or from, you know, like I said, getting some of these degrees.
Do you think we have a misconception? I mean, the general public, do we not clearly get it when a lot of times I hear associations or charities come under fire because of the administrative costs? And, you know, they've got a CFO that's pulling down six figures. You know, that money should be going to those little kids over there that you're supposed to be serving. Is that fair?
I think that whole issue of admin costs, I think we've done a really good job for the last 50 years of telling everybody that the best way to evaluate a nonprofit is to look at their admin costs. And for any of your listeners that were at the Dan Pallotta event in September or have read or heard any of his materials and others like him, you realize that that's not the best way to judge the effectiveness of an organization. I recently was teaching and had a lady in the audience say, well, I just don't support and don't make gifts to any organization where the CEO is making $100,000 a year. Mm. And I said to her, well, in my opinion, that's not enough information for me to make that decision. If it's a $150,000 organization, that might be an indication there's a problem. If it's a $4 million organization, I don't have a problem with it at all because I want somebody with the knowledge and the expertise to run that organization. Yeah, it's proportionate. Mm-hmm.
So in that case, when you, this is another sort of self-satisfying question. But I wonder if, in fact, that draws from our connection that we make, I'm saying all of us make, between religious causes, and we talked about churches themselves being charitable organizations, right, 501c3.
Mm-hmm.
So the notion that a church that is there to do work for the people spends money on itself. And so they've got, you know, a building that's worth $20 million and they've got, you know, all of the interior of the church dressed out and it's, and the pastor's driving a brand new late model Porsche and, you know, the choir director is taking vacations in the Bahamas. And I mean, that kind of feels wrong somehow. Mm-hmm. We want good people to be poor, and we want them
right.
to serve because they are so passionate about taking care of other folks, they themselves and their needs, sort of that monasterial view of charitable work.
And I think that is the view. And I don't think people should have to take a vow of poverty in order to...
Unless they're a talk show host.
Unless they're... Right.
Yeah.
Just because they want to change the world or because they want to solve a community problem.
Yeah.
Now, you know, the example that you just gave, I mean, there's excess and unfortunately, you know... examples in any sector where people have gone too far and the mission has come secondary.
But the difference is,
but that's the exception.
If I'm the president of a company and I'm pulling down, you know, $10 million a year,
mm-hmm.
we pat him on the back and say,
job well done.
Well done, man.
Exactly.
Until, of course, it turns out he's a bank and the bank has stolen from all of its customers. But, you know, the vast majority of CFOs and CEOs, and they're making good money, and we think that's admirable. If I'm the president of a nonprofit, or this, I should say, a CEO for a nonprofit, not so much.
Right. It's a double standard, and it really doesn't make any sense. We expect these organizations to not only provide services, but to solve problems. So why wouldn't we pay somebody a competitive wage to solve homelessness in our community or to solve poverty in our community? Mm-hmm. So, again, it's a different way of thinking about nonprofits, but I think it's the way we need to be thinking about it.
Mm. Folks, we've just plumb run out of time, but we've had the pleasure of this young lady join us this morning. Thank you so much, Alice Lee, for making it part of your morning. I mean, to have you here is kind of a treat, really.
I appreciate it. Appreciate the opportunity. It was a pleasure.
You think, huh?
It was.
Would you
and the coffee was
to come
good.
Back? The coffee was good.
The coffee was good. I'll be
we'll
back.
We'll get the carpet clean, so it'll be ready for you the next time. And for you too, folks, we're glad that you're here because that's why we're here in the first place. I mean, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. It's all about what you're talking about. And Alice Lee Stansberry, our good friend, has been a big part of this show today. Thanks again. We're going to be back here again next Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, bright and early. Freedom 93 is our home. We hope that you'll make it part of your morning every Saturday so that we can be talking about those things that make Tallahassee such a special place to live. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.